you know, one day after a while, that's where I'm going to be, with my Lord for eternity. And the whole reason is because he loved me enough. He loved each one of us enough that he came into this sinful world and died for us that we could be. It's an awesome thought. Pray for me. I wasn't sure that I was going to be standing here tonight. Brother Miller wasn't sure that he was going to be able to make it back. I read a few scriptures this afternoon, and I need your prayers. I'll be reading in the book of Acts, chapter 17, and I want to start with verse 22. Acts 17 and 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom, therefore, ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and of earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. With mistakes I made." That's Acts 17, 22 through 27. You know, this morning, Brother Miller brought a fine message, and he was talking. He was talking a lot about things that were close and hit home with me, just like the minister school this week. There was a lot of things. I think the first three lessons just hit me right on top of the head and woke me up real quick. There's a lot of things in this world that we do, that we see every day, that are not necessarily of the Lord. Sometimes we get in our minds things that, you know, I want to do. After the minister school, I get batteries charged. But you know, sometimes I get to thinking up here, and there's things, and I do have thoughts up here of things that I think that I need to be doing. And it's so hard sometimes to wait on the Lord to put it here, to go there and to do that. I've had thoughts about going, calling Brother Clayton. I got his number. I got thoughts about calling him and getting his tent and setting it up there in our neighborhood and calling some of the preachers of the church or someone else to come and to help there. I've thought about going back home where I was born and raised there in Indiana. There's a place there that I know and I can see it in my mind. And I want to go there. I want to preach to those people because I love them so much. But yet, I've not felt that pull from God. I may have chose the wrong scriptures here, but it says in these scriptures that we read in your hearing, if happily you feel after him. That goes right along with being in touch with the Lord and having a relationship with him that you know when he's pulling you this way and telling you to go this way. That's just like the pastors of the church. They know when the Lord is pulling them to go to this certain church. The church knows when the Lord is pulling them to go to a certain pastor and bringing them together. See, all of this is, I'm going to, for lack of a better word, all of this is by design of the Lord. He designs who He wants, what person He wants in what spot at what time. And I guarantee you that's going to be the right time when they get there. I can think back, this has been 30 years ago. I can think back when I first come and moved in here at Bowling Green. I met LaVon. At that time, she was pretty much out of the Lord's will also. In fact, I never was in it because I was never saved. Thought I had been, but I wasn't. And then there was a tragedy that happened to her about a tumor behind her eye and all this, and I'm not going to go into the whole story, but you know, those things brought her down, and because of that, it brought me down. I was working out of town, and when this happened to LaVon, I was off, and I couldn't be there, and it was bothering me, and I talked to her on the phone every day several times. She says, "Don't worry, honey, I'm not alone. I knew there wasn't nobody else there." But she wasn't alone because the Lord was there with her. And you know, I couldn't understand that. As you all know, I was deceived when I was younger. Preacher raised his hand and asked me if I believed if Jesus was the Son of God. I said yes, and he took me back immediately and baptized me. It's what they called it. But he took me back and he took me under the water and he brought me out and told me I was okay. You know, I was in my own mind, that made me think that that's all you had to do was be baptized. But that's not so. We can go to the scriptures and it plainly says, if you get in there and you get to looking and you get to digging like you ought to, it plainly tells you, you must be born again. Born the Spirit. You see, when he told me that, I thought I had really done something. Me. Again, God's Word tells us there's nothing that we can do of ourselves. Not one thing. God has to do the saving. Not us, not some man. There's no preacher that can stand up anywhere, anytime, any place that can save a soul, no matter who they are. No man can do that. All we can do is point you to Jesus. That's all we can do. You know, these people, they had all these little monuments sitting around and all this, and Paul goes up there. And Paul sees these things, and he looks, and he tells them they're too superstitious. In today's language, we look at and we think about the word superstitious as being, you know, something to do like the cat crossing in front of you and give you bad luck or some such thing. That's what the superstitious means in our language today. But you go back in that time, it was meaning too religious. Those people were too religious. They was worshiping too many different things. They didn't really know what to worship, so they'd pick up anything they could. It even tells us, if we go on and read in there, or it was just before this where I started reading, it'll tell you that those people, they was looking for something new to hear. They wanted to hear something new so that they could tell something new. But there is nothing new. There's nothing new. It's the same from the beginning of the world. God made this earth. God sent His Son into this world to save lost sinners like each and every one of us. It says it's happily we feel after Him. I think about Moses, and I don't know where all this is coming from, but, well, I do, but
I think about Moses. Moses was there and he was up on the mountain and he looks and he sees that bush burning. He turns, I'm going to go see this great sight. That's when the Lord spoke to him. You know, the Lord didn't speak to me and bring me down under conviction, and still I started looking and being inquisitive about him. I started coming to church after LaVon had that trouble. I started coming to church with her. I started hearing a little bit of the word. Then I get shipped off to another job, and I was out in Oklahoma. I get hurt myself. And I was down on my back. I had to have back surgery. I was down there in that bed there, and I couldn't go nowhere, so I started coming in to church with LaVon every Sunday because I got, frankly, sick and tired of laying at the house all the time and couldn't do nothing. But I started hearing the word again. I got to where I could drive, and I finally started driving in, and I was bringing her to church. And I remember Brother Moran standing up here one Sunday morning. He said, I just feel the need of having a three-day revival. If there's any members of the church that feel the same way, to raise your hand. You know, my hand went up in the air. My hand went up in the air. I wasn't a member of this church. I had no right voting, but I was wanting to hear more of what the Lord had to say. You see, I could hear him preaching that morning about having a time and a place when the Lord saved your soul. And that's the way it has to be. A place where the Lord saved your soul. It doesn't have to be right here on this bench, because see, this bench is just made out of wood on these trees, and man's hands made them. The cloth on top, man's hands made them. There's nothing special about it. It's just a place to come and pray. That's the same way with these benches. You can pray in these benches. You can pray in your house at home. I remember I got in such trouble. I was sitting at home and I read in the book of Matthew how, I think it's in chapter 5, how it says where do you go into your closet. I literally went into the bathroom and hid, thinking LaVon won't know what I'm doing. And I was in there praying, calling on the Lord. You see, this is my testimony. This is my testimony. I got in so much trouble that I come up here and I was bowed down right about this spot right here. I prayed all that afternoon, that same afternoon that they called for the revival. I prayed all that afternoon. It come about 2:30, 3 o'clock. I didn't know. They'd had a dismissal prayer, but I didn't know it. I was in so much trouble. I was seeking after the Lord. Do we see sinners in that much trouble today? Is our preaching getting to be less effective? Brother, if it is, we need to be praying too. But you see, God, He wants to see every one of us saved. He says so in His Word. And we need to be searching His Word so we can better tell people what they need to do. Jesus says, seek and you shall find. We need to be telling these lost souls that they need to be seeking after the Lord. When's the last time that we went out and we made an effort to actually talk to somebody? You know, sometimes I get to preaching and I don't like talking like that. But you know, sometimes the Lord puts something on the person and they got to get it out. I go to work. I'm working there in Bardstown. I've had a wonderful time there at night, several nights. You see, there's a brother there. Brother Greg Greer plays mandolin, and his family was in a group that would go around to different churches and play. But he'd get to playing his mandolin, and there's another fella, I'm not sure that he knows the Lord, but he'd start playing his guitar, and Greg and I would get started singing the gospel songs. Well, sometimes, you know, you see the tears coming down in his eyes. I pray that he's saved, but you know, things like that, Things like that. People, those people on the job site, when they come in to turn in their paperwork and stuff, they hear that. They hear that. And brothers, sisters, there are wonderful messages in songs. If you can sing, sing to the top of your lungs. Let it go. I can remember coming in this place, this church right here on Sunday nights, and there would be enough people here to fill this whole center section. Those little idols and those things that Paul was talking about that he's seen there on Myers Hill, they don't have to be little statues. They can be anything that keeps us away from doing the Lord's work. They can be things that we can worship, things that we don't even realize that we're doing. And I'm going to venture to say, there, and I know there's ball games going on, and people are really up on watching these ball games. They want their team to win and all this kind of thing. But people, we need to get our priorities in line and where they need to be. Those ball games, we can let those be. We can let those be. We need to be in God's house. It says not to forsake the gathering of the saints. It is our duty as those that the Lord has saved, it is our duty to be in the Lord's house any time we possibly can. And that's every one of us. And I do feel that that is the duty of a saved person, especially a member of a church. Like I said, I didn't know how this was going to go. I'm going back. I'm keep thinking there Thursday night, brother done the preaching. He read there from the book of Exodus for his lesson. They're about the Passover. How that they took the blood from the sacrifice and they put it on the side post and the top post of the door. You know, that was a type of Jesus. That was a type of Jesus. When they put that blood upon there, in my own thinking, that was a prediction of the Savior and what he had to do. It tells us, we also read in the book of Isaiah, we read a wonderful story about Jesus many, many years before he was born on this in this earth. Many, many years, but he told it just exactly like it was happening at that time. You read in the book of Revelation, you find where Jesus appeared there as a lamb who was slain. Jesus that came into this world because of his love for us. Because of his love for us that he came into this world. We, physically, we weren't there. But we are the ones that put him there. Jesus could see you. He could see me. He could see every one of us. And he knew that we would have no hope. You see those sacrifices that they made in those days? As it was so well said in the minister school this week, those sacrifices, when they make a sacrifice, it would be for a certain sin.
and it would just last for just a little bit, just 1 year, and then they'd have to do that sacrifice again. But the sacrifice Jesus made, he made it once and for all. One time he made that sacrifice, and he made it for all the world. Anyone who will ever be born in this world, the blood of Jesus is enough sacrifice for each and every one of them if they will trust him for the salvation of their soul. Happily, if happily you will feel after him. First of all, you've got to hear about Jesus, the very Son of God. You've got to hear about him. And I look around and I see everybody in this place today, and I know you've been here, and I know you've heard about Jesus. I know you know the gospel. That's number one. Number two, you need to be seeking after him, feeling after him. You see, once you come to that point that you realize that you are lost, if you die, something happens, car accident, whatever it may be, if something happens, you'll be sent into a devil's hell. You know, and that's not a popular thing to say these days. You say, oh, you'll scare my children, you'll hurt their feelings, you'll do this, you'll do that. But you know, it is the truth. Once you know that you're lost and separated from God, and something happens to you, say you fall and you bump your head and then you can't think straight and you don't know what to do. If you had heard about Jesus and you had your opportunity, you knew you were lost, you will go straight to hell. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. God is just. Any one of us, are not worthy, as it was said this morning. There's not a one of us worthy of the salvation that the Lord's given us. Not worthy in one way. But yet he wants to save you. He's not willing that any one of us should perish in that awful place. I can't help but think about Lazarus there when he wanted to send someone back to go and to warn his brothers because he was in that awful place and he couldn't get away and he couldn't get out and he wanted out, but yet he asked Abraham there if he could send someone to go and warn his brothers that they wouldn't end up in that awful place. He said they won't believe even though one would come back from the dead. There are so many today in this world that don't believe in Jesus. And believe you and me, brother, Jesus came back from the dead. He arose. He arose from the grave. And because he arose, we can too. I think about Lazarus that was there in that tomb. He'd been there for 4 days, I believe it was. Jesus comes and he tells him to roll that stone away. And no doubt, and I believe in those days, they would treat, when someone died, they would treat their body with the spices and all this stuff. And he was prepared and he was put in this tomb and they put that stone there. And he had him roll that stone away. And he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus come out. He come out of that tomb. He had died 4 days before. His sister said he probably stinketh. But he come out of that tomb because Jesus called. One day. What day that is, I don't know. It may be this very day. But one day there's going to be a trumpet sound and it's going to be Jesus calling. And all those that have died is going to raise up to meet him there in the air. But you know, all those that have not been saved
by the grace of God that have not called on Jesus to save their soul. It's just like the sheep and the goats. He will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And you will be cast into the devil's hell. And just like I said a while ago, 10,000 years, we can't even imagine the length thereof. We can't even imagine eternity. We can't imagine it forever. It says the stench there is going to be so great that you won't be able to stand it. The smoke will be there. You won't be able to see the others, though you'll be able to hear the cries and the gnashing of teeth. You won't be able to see them. The smoke will be so great because they're going to be burning up. But you know how when Moses went up that burning bush, it said how that bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed? It's going to be the same way with those people there. They're just going to continually burn and burn and burn forever. And it's not going to stop. I ask you today, if you've not been saved, feel after Jesus. Feel after him. Look for him. Find you a place and cry out to him, pray to him, talk to him. He's the only one that's going to save you from that place, that awful hell that you're bound to go to. I'm not going to try to drag out and drag along. That's not what the Lord would want. But I do ask you, if you've not been saved, seek after him. Look for him. He's there. Even with this small crowd that we have here tonight, you know he's here. But you know what? I do think that the devil attends a lot of church services. And he sits on people's shoulders. Those people that are saved, he'll sit on your shoulder. You feel, well, you know, you want to start singing a song, and then, oh, I ain't going to do that. Or you feel that knocking on your heart, and you know you need to get up and do something, even if it's just shake somebody's hand. No, I don't want to do that. There's nobody else moving around. Maybe the Lord wants you to get it started. Maybe it's you the Lord's depending on to get it started, to get the people started and get them shook up and get them going. The Lord uses each one of us. Maybe that's the way he's going to use you. If you know someone that is lost, tell them your testimony. You know, you have, that is the strongest tool you have because it happened to you. And you know it. You can tell it. And if you know it within your heart and you tell it just exactly the way it is, it'll have an effect on someone. No, you might not see it. You might not see it immediately. I've had people, I was working in Clarksville, Tennessee. There were some painters there working. One of them started getting a little bit ugly on their talking. I said something to him. I said, you know, the Lord wouldn't really like you talking that way. A few days later, he come up to me and started asking me questions. He was having trouble in his marriage, and he come up to me and started asking me questions about that and asking me about the Lord. We never know. The little things that we say, we never know who they'll help. But if we just help one person, wouldn't it be worth it? If one person found the salvation of their soul,
Isn't it worth it? That's one more. One more that will help get this beautiful word out. That's what's on my heart. I wonder if anybody has anything on their heart that they'd like to say or something they feel that needs to be done.